friends. Good morning, everybody. Lou, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good to see you.
Hariom Gautamji?
Yes,
sir. Hello, and how are you?
Good. I'm glad you're on the phone. First of all, friends, I have talked to you that we were going to start this new program talking about how I learned about the Gita, Vedanta, Upanishads through Gautam Jain, Sri Gautam Jain, and I call him Gautam Ji with respect. And Gautam Ji, I'm really honored to have you on the podcast today. And I just wanted to give you, the audience, a little bit of background about Gautam Ji. I started, as I told you, the story about how my wife introduced me to this topic in 2005, 2006. That's when I first met Gautam Ji. And since then, almost on a daily basis, I'm either listening to one of his programs, as I suggest that you might want to do, because he's on the internet, or reading something about him, or reading my notes that I've gotten from Gautam Ji. I'm really happy to have him here on our show today. Gautam Ji is a senior disciple of Swami Parthasarathy, who is a philosopher and teacher of Vedanta and Upanishads in, and his ashram is in Pune, India. Gautam Ji, similar to Swami Ji, came from a fairly accomplished and affluent family in India. And Gautam Ji came to the United States, went to a very prominent college in the United States. And after graduating with academic and athletic awards and excellence in student governorship, upon graduation, he was, and Gautam Ji, you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong here, was out of thousands of people interviewed by a very prestigious company, one of the first ones to be offered a position. When Gautam Ji told of this interview, he went there and thought to himself, am I doing the right thing, and asked certain questions. Even though he was being offered the position, Gautam Ji thought to himself that he wanted to go back to India. This was not for him. And he returned to India to study in Swami Parthasarathy's academy. And since then, I think he spent 9 years in the academy, came back to the United States, and has been here for about 20 years as a full-time career, doing studying himself, doing research, propagation of Vedanta and Upanishads and Gita. And he now lectures on Vedanta and self-management, and has presented self-management conferences to various organizations, including the Young Presidents Organization, Entrepreneur Organization, Goldman Sachs, IBM, AT&T, MIT, etc. Gautam Ji, have I covered everything, or am I wrong in anything I said?
No, it basically covers the whole background, how I got started. I spent 10 years in India at the academy learning this, and I'm come back to the U.S. and I run the U.S. part of our work to teach. It's called the Vedanta Cultural Foundation.
So I want to tell our listeners that when you finish listening to this, you may want to jot down the website address for Gautam Ji, and also look at the various books that Swami Ji has written, because just reading those books is very, very beneficial to you. In addition, the website has lectures and various presentations by both Gautam Ji as well as Swami Ji, and you will find those on, plus major presentations that Swami Ji has here in the United States. And towards the end of this talk, we're going to be talking about an important event coming up this month by Swami Ji in New York City. So, Gautam Ji, before we go any further, maybe you could talk a little bit about this ancient wisdom for life of Vedanta that you teach. What does it mean?
See, the word Vedanta is actually an amalgam of two words. Veda means wisdom, and Anta means the ultimate, you know. So the literal meaning of that word is the ultimate wisdom, the highest knowledge, the culmination of knowledge. And the reason we call it the ultimate wisdom is because it provides clear solutions to everything you want in life. A human being is looking for peace and happiness within. You're looking for success and productivity in your work. These are at the material level, you know. And then ultimately, whether you know it or not, every human being unconsciously seeks the ultimate state of self-realization, the ultimate abode of peace and happiness. So Vedanta provides the technique to achieve all three. So that's why it's called the ultimate wisdom.
Okay. And Gautamji, I have, over the last so many years, 13 years that I've been listening to you, we talked about the Upanishads, which are so beautiful, heavy to understand a little bit, Vedanta, and then the Gita. And just so our listeners understand, how many famous people across the world first got exposed in the West to the Gita after the translation in 1785 by Charles Wilkins, and they've praised it so much. But spiritually, why was it necessary when we had the Upanishads and Vedanta for the Gita to be written?
See, what happens is, in the beginning, as you said, when the Upanishads were there, they were meant for the people of those days, you know. This is thousands of years ago we're talking about. So at that time, the level of intellect was very high. They could relate to these very subtle and cryptic principles. After a while, we're talking again hundreds or thousands of years, the intellect deteriorated. So at the time of Krishna, who taught the Gita, in fact, if you read the Gita, he says that people have completely lost the understanding of the Upanishad. So the knowledge had to be diluted in a way that the common person in those days could understand. And that's the Gita. And that is going on even now. So 1200 years ago, there was a great saint called Shankara, and he found that people didn't even understand the Gita. We're talking about 800 AD or so. And he wrote introductory texts like the Bhajagovindam or the Atma Bodha. And if you come to today's world, when my guru, you talked about Swami Parthasarathy, he's my teacher, he's 92 years old, and he has spent his whole lifetime researching this wisdom, and very early, about, I'm putting the clock back 50 years, he understood that nobody even understands those textbooks now. So he put the entire wisdom of Vedanta, the Gita, in a simple, easy to understand book called the Vedanta Treatise, which has the whole philosophy of life, you know. So periodic changes, it's not that the Upanishads don't have the knowledge, but they are written in a way that the person today can't understand.
Correct.
Periodically these masters have to expose the knowledge, put it in a language which the people of that age understand, you know.
Correct.
And that's what has happened.
Correct. Yeah, well, I've tried to look so much to do some research to say when the Gita was written. Nobody knows, of course. They talk about thousands of years ago. But a common theme seems to be that it was written about 3,100 years before Christ, or BCE, before the Common Era, 3,100. Whether that's correct or not, I don't know. But if at that time, it was supposed to be that humanity has gone down to such depths, we can just imagine how it has gone for the last 5,000 years, even more. So as you correctly say, that it's so difficult for people to understand even the Gita today. But I have learned so much from you and the way you explain it. And even from, just so the audience knows, if you look at the translation of the Gita, as Swami Parthasarathy has done it, and these Gita books are available on the net, I've read other people's translations of the Gita or explanations, and it's a world of difference if you read Swami Parthasarathy's books. But Gautamji, why do we need to learn this wisdom?
See, it's like asking when I'm on a highway, why do I need to learn how to drive? Why do I need to be certified for a license before I get on the road?
Good.
So yep. If you, it's as absurd as that, how the whole world doesn't understand that living itself is an art, a skill, a technique that needs to be learned.
Right.
So, like I just gave the example about a car, you need to learn how to drive and then drive. You know, you need to learn how to, you put it even simpler. You buy a phone, which is like when we first got our smartphone, nobody knew how to use it.
True.
There's a manual for it. You have to read it, right?
Correct.
You buy a new appliance, like a refrigerator with all these new functions and all. You've got to read the manual, how it has to be operated. So when it comes to life, why don't you understand that as a technique and a skill which needs to be learned? Nobody understands it that way.
Right, right.
So the result of that, like Sartre, the great French philosopher, he says, everything has been figured out except how to live, you know?
Good point.
So this is philosophy. There's a technique. So since nobody has learned it, like you said, you find the complete deterioration of human existence in the sense that at the individual level, there is stress, there's addiction, there's depression and divorce. You're a psychiatrist, you know what's going on, you know?
Right.
At the world level, you find this terrorism, you find war, corruption and greed everywhere. So, which is completely destroying the whole human race, it's destroying the world, because it boils down to this, that nobody has learned how to live.
So very valid points, Gautamji. So I was saying in my previous talks that this is not anything dogmatic. The Gita, Vedanta, Upanishads does not say anything that you must do this, you must go to this house of worship, you must, you know, anything. Everything is basically giving us some underlying principles and philosophies. So would you want to comment on some of the fundamental principles underlying this philosophy?
Yeah, see, like you have rightly said, I mean, see, first misunderstanding, people think that this is some sort of a religion or a cult, or there's no such thing. This is life principles, you know. So that should be very clearly understood, because, you know, I got a, like you gave in my introduction, I've spoken at all these corporate, you know, seminars and all that. And I remember getting a call from a big Wall Street bank, and the lady said, you know, one of our partners has recommended you highly, and we'd like to invite you, but this seems a little religious, and we can't have that. You know, we have very strict policies. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to invite you, so I want to know how we can get the permission. So I told her, you know, ask your boss. Newton discovered gravity, right? She said, yeah, I mean, I think so. And Newton was a Christian? She said, I'm assuming. Does gravity apply only to Christians? And she said, of course not. So I said, similarly, there are certain principles. Just as gravity is a physical principle, there are certain principles at the mental level governing your stress, your concentration, your relationships, your life. And these are common to all human beings. Just because they were first researched in the Himalayas thousands of years ago doesn't make them Indian or
very valid. Yes,
these are universal principles. So she went and gave this example, and we got the approval.
Very
know?
Nice.
So this is what people don't understand, that this is completely universal. It's the same thing like how the misconception was with yoga when it first came to the US, right? Everybody thought it's some
religious
thing. And now everybody knows it's just physical exercise. Similarly, Vedanta can be thought of as yoga for the mind. Now everybody thinks it's something religious. But soon people will understand, as they are taught and explained, that look, it's nothing to do with that. These are just principles for your life. So you can call it yoga for the mind, you know, lack of a better term.
So are there certain fundamental principles underlying this, Gautamji?
Yes. The when you talk of the principles, I wanted to first clarify that the principles are universal.
Right.
So when you talk about the principles underlying the philosophy, see, the first and foremost principle, if you want to start improving your life. This is what Vedanta talks about, is it is not the world that can give you peace or stress. It's how you relate to it. And this is so difficult to understand and yet so fundamental if you want to be happy as a human being. So if I was to ask you, or anybody for that matter, what gives you stress? You know, what would the answer be? Everything is great, but it's that spouse of mine, you know, or it could be the boss at work, it could be the traffic, it could be the weather, it could be your neighbor. Now, if you see all the stress points which you're talking about, each one believes that it is external.
Right, right.
This is the first principle underlying this philosophy. It is not external. It is how you relate. The world can never give you peace or happiness. It's how you relate that produces that. So nobody will ever say, what is wrong with me that I'm not able to relate to the world? You understand?
Right.
Everybody will say, it's the world. There's no such thing. Fundamental principle is, it's you. It's within you.
Right.
And a proof of that is, one person takes a cigarette, he smokes, he says it gives him pleasure. Another person detests it. One person wants to divorce his wife. Another person is waiting desperately to marry the same woman. You see that?
Yes.
So how can it be the person? If the person had stress in them, they should give stress to everybody. No.
Right.
If the cigarette had stress in it, it should give it to everybody. No. Therefore, it is not the world, how you relate to it. So the fundamental principle is, you have to learn how to relate to the world rather than blaming the world for what it is.
Good point.
And the minute it goes within, what is wrong with me that I am not able to handle this situation, you'll start improving.
All right. Good. So applying this to somebody at work and business, or, you know, going out and whatever living they make or however they deal with that, everyone, at least in the West over here, seems extremely stressed out, Gautamji. Why is that so? Is it the same principle that it's how they relate to the outside? How would you focus and zero in on that?
See, when it comes to work and business, first thing we need to, when we're talking about the fundamental principles, right? The fundamental principle is, if you control your mind, you control your life, okay? Like I said, everybody thinks it's the external world. It's not. It's your own mind. So when the mind goes out of control, all the problems start. So what Vedanta does is develops an intellect to be able to control your mind. Now, simple example, you're talking about business, right?
Right.
A person, what is the stress? The mind has a tendency to worry about the past and become anxious about the future. So this wavering into the past and the future is what causes stress. So people don't have a strong intellect. Only a strong intellect can keep the mind in the present. So that's why they're all stressed out, because of a weak intellect, number one. Number two is, in business, in work, again, since the mind is out of control, that desire for success becomes a greed. It's a greed for wealth or power, and that greed is what stresses you out. So there's nothing wrong with working, there's nothing wrong with growing, earning more, but if you have that greed, that's when you get stressed out. And not only do you get stressed out, you destroy everything. All these bankruptcies, all these loans and debts is all because of greed. And it's destroying the whole world, you know.
Right.
So this is the reason, the lack of control over the mind.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that is a common issue for all of us is relationships. Relationships with spouse, siblings, family, in-laws, you know, business relationships. Any tips on how to handle them, Gautamji?
See, the relationships, again, the problem is you don't use your intellect, you know. It's how you make use of the relationship that matters. So when Socrates was asked, you know, should I get married? One young guy went to him and said, sir, should I get married? He said, by all means, get married. If you get a good wife, you'll be happy. If you get a bad one, you'll become a philosopher. You know? So it doesn't matter who you marry, how you relate to that person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in relationships, the first thing that you must understand is no two people are the same. And because of lack of understanding this, you make a mess out of a beautiful relationship.
Right.
So how is it possible? See, you like Chinese food, your wife likes Indian food. Now you can't say why, you know. Why don't you like Chinese food? There's no such thing. She is what she is, you are what you are. She likes the temperature 2 degrees warmer, you like it 2 degrees colder, right? Now,
right.
What do you do about that?
Mm-hmm.
So you must understand and give the person their space. She likes golf, you like tennis. There are millions of things like that.
Right.
So the problems in relationship come is when you expect the person to behave according to your expectations, you're in serious trouble. But when you understand that they are different and let them live their lives, it's a beautiful relationship. So analyze, where is the problem? It's your wrong expectation. Don't blame the person. Don't blame the situation. Don't blame the environment. Change yourself. Control your mind, you control your life.
That's very, very important for all of us to know, Gautamji. So, and do you think that, I know this, the answer from my studying with you, but I'm just saying this for the audience, that by what does a person have to do in terms of the Vedanta or Gita to get to that point? What do they, I mean, does it just happen by studying, by listening, by reading, or do they have to do anything? They have to go to a house?
See, as I told you, the problem is that your emotions are out of control, okay? Now, there's a desire to earn wealth, which is okay, but when it becomes greed, it becomes a problem. So how it becomes greed is when the intellect, which... See, you have what is called as an intellect, which is your capacity to think and reason. And then there is the mind, which is emotions. So if the intellect is not strong, the emotion goes out of control. A simple thing is, example is when you're driving, you know, there are thousands of accidents all the time, all over the world because of texting and driving.
Right.
Now, what is the reason? Your mind craves to look at the phone.
Right.
Intellect, which is your thinking, says, look, at this time my attention should be on the road, not on the phone.
Right.
And you say, you disregard it. But if you have a weak intellect, you look at the phone, you'll destroy everything. Right. So basically it boils down to strengthening the intellect.
Mm-hmm.
And strengthening the intellect comes through study and reflection on these higher values of life, as Vedanta explains. So intellect is like a muscle, you know, like how you have to strengthen your body, your physical body through exercise.
Going to the gym or whatever.
The exercise for the intellect is study and reflection.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to work. So I would recommend, since these all the listeners are new to the subject, even the Vedanta treatise is a little advanced. So start with a basic understanding of life, and that book is called The Fall of the Human Intellect. It's a very thin book, it's a simple book, and it just talks about how you can start this process of building your intellect. Again, it's called The Fall of the Human Intellect.
And they can get this on Amazon or
Amazon, yeah, absolutely.
Or on the website. What is the name of the website again, Gautamji?
So Amazon, of course, it's available. Just search for Fall of the Human Intellect. But our website, where we talk about what we do here in this part of the world, it's called VedantaUSA.org. Now, people have a tendency here to misspell it. So it's Vedanta. It's not Vendata. You know, that's what people misspell it sometimes. So VedantaUSA.org.
And folks, you'll find this on the Facebook page. We will put that website down for you if you look on Facebook. So, Gautamji, another challenge related to relationships is parenting. Parents mm-hmm. just don't know what to do with their kids. Any tips would be greatly appreciated.
Parents don't know what to do with their kids because they themselves are kids. You know? What? How can two kids bring each other up? It's like that.
Uh-huh.
There's a double fault when they do. See, the way, like Lincoln said, there is only one way to make a child go in the way you want, and that is to go that way yourself.
Uh-huh.
You know? And Einstein also said that. He said, setting an example is not the main means of influencing others, it's the only means.
Mm-hmm.
So parents, the problem is they don't live the life that they want their kids to live. They themselves are indisciplined. They themselves have no intellect. And they're expecting the children to behave differently. It's not going to work, number one. And number two is, you live the life and don't lecture all the time about it. So they don't live the life that they want their kids to lead, and they're constantly pestering and lecturing to the children. Do this, don't do this. You know, last week I got somebody telling me that, please tell my mom, you know, she texts me every half an hour. Where are you? What are you doing? I can't take it anymore. Some kids have become violent, you know. They just don't want to deal with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So parents should work on themselves and not lecture, unless the kids want some advice.
Right.
Don't constantly pester them with your do's and don'ts.
Right. Okay, so before we are done for today, Gautamji, and I want to say thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. Before we're done for today, can you tell us where you or Swamiji are talking next? Is there an upcoming event or lecture where everybody can attend?
Yeah, so in Manhattan, we have a very, very big event in a couple of weeks on the 26th of September, where my guru and mentor and teacher, Swami Parthasarathy, will be speaking on the law of karma, which is a very interesting subject. And we have a tremendous response for this event. So anybody would like to come, you can again go to our website and register yourself, VedantaUSA.org. And on the same website, you will get the lectures that I speak on a weekly basis in the New York, New Jersey area. And of course, the books are available. If you're not in this area, you can start and picking them up and reading them. And we have periodic retreats where you can attend. So there's a lot of information there. Anyone interested is welcome to visit VedantaUSA.org.
Right. Great. And Gautamji is also on YouTube. There's many, many lectures of Gautamji on YouTube itself. You can look. So, Gautamji, thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure our audience does also. So, friends, thank you so much for listening, and we will continue next time. Hari Om.